Pastor Sean, you want to do a series of videos about everything here at Berean Baptist right. Church. And so the first one that you thought would be helpful for would be talking to new people or people right. that people that might be thinking about coming and attending. So let's just start off with the big question. Why do we exist? Why is Berean here today?
Okay, so Berean exists, I think we say, to proclaim Christ, to tell people about who Jesus is. We want them to come to know the Lord. We want them to come to an awareness of his deity, his humanity, his person, his work, and we want to do that through the Word of God.
Okay, all right. So when somebody comes in first time, what do you want them to see? What do you want them to feel?
I want them to notice family. I want them to notice community. I want them to notice the relationships. I want them to experience the worship of God as a whole. I want them to see a church that's got their Bibles open and studying the Word of God, whether that's on Sunday or Wednesday or a Thursday ladies group. I want them to see that we take God serious, that we take His Word serious.
So being a new person, just being here for a few months, I would definitely think that that's what most people are going to see. That's what they're going to feel, because for us, we can see where everything is centered around the Word of God.
Who's the us?
Dee Dee and I.
Right.
Sorry. So Dee Dee, my wife.
So I'm the senior pastor. Mike, what's your job?
I'm the associate pastor.
Right.
Started in
your
November.
Your focus is on?
My focus is on adult discipleship, Christ-like transformation, disciple making.
Right. And what does it mean to be a disciple, Mike? Because that term is just used, like everyone uses it, and yet maybe it's not even defined.
I think for us here at Berean, we think from four different perspectives. We think about, you know, your head, your heart, your hand, and your feet. And what those would be is, from your head, do you think like Christ? And then from your heart, are you being made into Christ? And then from your hand, are you doing Christ? Are you on mission with Christ? And then the feet, are you going and proclaiming Christ to the people that are around us?
And Mike, Berean's, from some people's perspective, a big church.
Definitely, yes. When we're looking at two Sunday morning services and we're talking about 500 plus on a Sunday morning, for many people, it would be big compared to the normative size of around 90 to 100.
All right, so does it feel like an overwhelming number big to you when you first came? Because I've been here for 16 years, so it's so hard for me to grasp that idea. So what did y'all think?
So when you walk in the sanctuary is bigger. We can't get past that. But yet, when we go into the Sunday school classes, when we go into our Wednesday night study groups, it's much smaller. On Sunday morning, we have a short meet and greet time where we get to talk to people. But then every Sunday night, you challenge us to walk around and actually talk to people that we don't already know. And so that really helps it to be much smaller and much more friendly and more family oriented.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So let's think about leadership perspective. Just first new person coming in or somebody thinking about attending. What do you think is important for them to know about the leadership within Berean?
I want them to know it's a team. I want them to know that we don't have a top-down, I'm the senior pastor, bossing everyone around, a single personality. I want them to understand that it's a cohort. It's a group of men who are called by God to minister. We have Steve Wilson, who is our executive pastor, who takes care of all the buildings and grounds, the finances, the office staff, and all that, and teaches the Sunday school class. We have Brian, who oversees our student ministries. We have Jonathan, who leads our music right here every Sunday morning. We have Cliff, who works part-time to take care of our senior saints. We have elders. We have lay elders who help set the direction and hold me accountable, and we work together as a team. What are your thoughts on our structure? We've known each other for 15 years.
Yes.
And you had preconceived ideas prior to coming into our team that we spent some time talking about. So give your honest, candid feedback. What do you think?
I do feel like you're the leader, but yet you lead through the team. and you want to set each of us up for success in our own areas so that we can lead together well through the church family here at Berean. The elder structure is new to me.
Right.
Have not been
it's new
in
to
the
us.
Church.
It's only 2 years for us. So we're clearly working through it. We see the biblical model. We want people to understand it's clearly in Scripture, but now getting that moved into the 21st century and what does it look like is a challenge.
Yes, but I think we're headed in the right direction, the right biblical direction. And I'm just excited about that because having multiple leaders, I think that's more biblical.
Mike, what about the lady component? You know, we just mentioned a bunch of male pastors. Mm-hmm. What do you see as far as our ladies and how they serve and work and contribute and lead?
Well, I think we have a strong ladies leadership team, and I won't mention the names because I'll probably forget somebody that's on that.
And it'll change over time.
Yep. But then also, Pam is our liaison with the ladies leadership team, and she also then any kind of lady pastoral counseling or talking, she kind of leads that. Mm-hmm. And so even though we have mostly, you know, male leadership, I think the ladies are coming right alongside and leading out in everything that they feel God wants them to have here for Berean.
Mm-hmm. Mike, the preaching is, it's strong. It's probably like stronger than most people are used to. You know, I don't want to come off as harsh or mean or upset. My wife cautions me sometimes that it seems like that. So what are your thoughts on that? You know, because, you know, you've known me for a long time, and it's like I'm almost bipolar. I don't know.
So I think when pastors preach, elders preach, it magnifies who they are. And how it comes out of them comes from their wiring. And you have such a big heart and are so passionate about God's word and his people and the flock that is here. That passion comes out right in our faces. And so people that don't know you, they might think some of those negative connotations.
Right.
But yet, once people realize who you are, they just know that you are very concerned for each of us, and you want us to understand the Word of God and apply it to our lives, and so you take that very seriously. And so it'll be a little bit of an adjustment.
Yeah, right.
But yet, as they know you more, they will appreciate it, and they will take it to heart.
Yeah, it seems to me, Mike, that just not enough preachers are taking their calling serious enough. You know, we are the shepherds of the flock. We work really hard around here on getting no names.
Yes.
That's very intentional. You know, people get the impression that it's a huge church. I'm sitting way over here. He's not going to know who I am. But that's not the case.
No. Take, for instance, when we do prayer time on Sunday nights, as we have over 200 people, we'll say.
Adults, yeah.
Adults on a Sunday night in here, and you're taking prayer requests from people, very rarely does somebody raise their hand and give a prayer request that you can't call out by name.
Yeah, and that's, we don't want to be that big church, Mike, that nobody knows who you are. And it's like going to a movie and you just sit in a theater seat, you get entertained for an hour and a half, and then you leave. That's not community. That's not flock. That's not family. You don't feel like that. And you know, my mom and dad know my name. You know, my brothers and sisters know my name.
Yes. And you definitely challenge the leadership, the pastoral staff, the elders, to make sure that we're learning people and we're really getting to know them and knowing their names. Let's twist it just a little bit for a moment. So our children are grown.
Yes.
But yet we have grandchildren that are little people age. Yep. And many new people or people thinking about coming to Berean have young children. And so what are your thoughts on the nursery area, how we take care of the children?
Well, I think we definitely need to do a separate video on that. And we're going to carve out time to make that happen. But I would want anyone with small children to see the degree to which we take the care of their children incredibly serious. From the moment they come, they have to check in. Every worker's had a background check, a national background check done. Your child receives a safety tag that goes on their back of their shirt or dress, and then the parent also gets one of those tags. On that, we have your phone number so that we have the ability to get a hold of you if there's any problems. Your child's not going to get released to anybody without that tag. And every worker that deals with your son or daughter has been vetted. All the leadership is members. All the workers are either members or on their membership track. They're on their way to becoming a member. And then I would want them to know that it's not babysitting.
No.
No. That every effort is being made to teach them on their level who God is, what the gospel is, who Christ is, the narrative of the Bible, the creation, fall, redemption, restoration, overarching epic narrative. Can you think of something else about our children's ministries?
I think that was good for this video, but like you said, let's circle back and do one specifically on the nursery and Power Hour, and we can go from there.
Mike, why is a small group? Because we have small groups on Wednesdays. We have small groups on Sunday mornings at 9:30. Why are small groups so important to bring?
As you talked about a little bit ago, community or gospel community, having those close relationships with other families, other couples, is vital. When we look at the New Testament church in the book of Acts, you know, we see that right there in Acts 2, where they gathered together, they ate together, they studied the Bible together, they prayed together, they went to, you know, the synagogue together and things like that. We want to provide an opportunity so that the Berean family can do that with each other here. But then we also want them to be able to take this then to their neighborhood, wherever they live, and take the gospel community that's here to the lost community that's around them.
Yeah. Mike, not many churches have a Sunday night service anymore. It's pretty much a thing of the past. Yet we are holding firm to our Sunday nights. Help describe the difference between Sunday morning and Sunday night. Why should I come back to a Sunday night service? What's the difference?
Sunday night is that blend between Sunday morning preaching and our small groups. So you create a discussion environment here. You still do most of the speaking and teaching, but yet you have these questions that you ask us to help us to really dig within us. And then we get to push that back and forth a little bit. And so to me, a great value in Sunday night is us going deeper in His Word and being able to get your feedback on things that we say to you. And you kind of help us stay within the hedges so that we don't go way to the left or way to the right. But it's a much smaller environment, even though it's within the same sanctuary and we have hundreds of people.
Does it feel different?
Yes. Yes, because you're being intentional about that dialogue back and forth. And that helps us to have to process it a little bit more differently than we do on Sunday morning. And then we also get to hear from each other, which then that helps us blend together as a family when we get to hear each other's take on Scripture and the questions you're asking us.
Yeah, one of the things I do that's super intentional on Sunday nights is calling out name after name after name after name. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a prayer request, whether it's just interaction, whether it's just anything, because I feel like it's important that we get to know each other's names. So if you're going to say something, I'm going to turn to you, Mike, and I'm going to say, Mike, Pastor Mike, or whoever, to make sure that everyone around them knows who's talking. The other thing I would want the new person to know is it's totally different. We're in Genesis right now, and we're in Luke on Sunday nights. A lot of people say to me, they think that it's the same message, you know, that...
Really?
Yes, I get that feedback.
Oh.
Yeah, like, I already went in the morning. Why would I? Because it's a totally different study. Yeah, completely different.
And when we do the morning service, the children are with us during our singing in the first part of the service, but then they go to Power Hour, and we'll put that in another video like
sure.
we talked about. But on Sunday night, they actually stay in here with us. And so to me, That's a training ground. That's a family discipling their children opportunity where the kids get to see their parents in here and interacting. And I think that that is also different from Sunday morning.
Yeah, and I would say that the fact that we keep them in here for part of the worship service is also different. We made that decision maybe 10 years ago, Mike. I felt like the way we had that first model was they went to Sunday school, and then from Sunday school, everyone moved them to children's church. We call it Power Hour. Mm-hmm. And then they don't even know who the pastor is. They don't even know that adults sing. They've never seen. So we thought, you know, let's get families worshiping together. And so we keep them in the auditorium for about 25 minutes or so and then dismiss them. And then I want to say to you that if you don't want your children dismissed, it's fine. Keep them in the auditorium. We have families that do that, Mike.
We do, yeah.
Right.
But we provide the opportunity.
Right, for those that aren't ready. But others feel like, no, my 9-year-old, my 10-year-old's ready, and they enjoy Pastor Sean's preaching, and they want to learn from as their adult. I think that's great. I think both are great. Mm-hmm. It's an alternative.
Thinking about Sunday nights and the kids again, this last Sunday night, when you were doing prayer requests, one of our little children, probably 7 or 8, had a prayer request,
right.
And she voiced it up, and that was great.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really important that we integrate children as much as possible into the worship. If all they do is children's stuff, and then they do youth stuff, and then we're surprised why they don't reintegrate as adults. You know, I grew up in church with the adults. I didn't go to a big church as a kid that had all these outside programs. So it's a real opportunity. So we're trying to find kind of that hybrid, if you will.
It is a balance, because then on Wednesday nights, we have the small groups like you had talked about for the adults, but then we have the Awana program for the children, and then we have the youth together doing youth activities.
Right, with Pastor Brian.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Sunday morning schedule. So at 8:15, we assemble for a prayer time
over in the administrative office.
Right, and anyone's welcome to join us.
Yes.
Right,
yep.
And it's kind of like
women, adults, children, we have it all.
We've had it all. Mm-hmm. 8:30, we roll into our early morning service. The only difference between the early service and the second service is one song difference and a few minutes. How about the music difference? What do you think, Mike? You've attended both of them. Is it a drastic difference? Like, would you say we have a conservative music and then we have a... How would you describe that?
No, I don't think the music changes really between the two services. The volume does, because there's a few more people that are in here in the 10:45 service than the 8:30 service. And then also, we have a few more instruments and a few more people singing at the 10:45 than we do the 8:30. But I think that's really the only difference that I feel when we're singing in either service.
Right. And then the 9:30, we dismiss. 9:35, we dismiss from 8 at the auditorium service, that early service. Mm-hmm. Small groups start at 9:45. We call them adult Sunday school, children's Sunday school. So at that point, we have birth all the way to the oldest, all in groups all over the church. We try to get done at 10:30.
Yes.
Your class does all right with getting done at 10:30, or?
Pastor Steve, he does well at it.
Yeah.
When I teach in that class, I'm a little harder. I got to learn that to get done so that we get time for people to come back in here for 10:45.
Yeah, 10:45 is our call to worship. It opens with a song, and then we sing 3 songs. We do some announcements. One of the elders reads the psalm. We work through all 150 psalms. Then we sing another worship, and we do the offering at that time. Mike, should we grab a white card for a minute? You think that
definitely. Yeah. Let me get one.
All right.
Why don't you start talking about it?
So this might be something different for you. We do attendance every single week. And I don't mean for like, okay, is anyone new here? Every single member of the church, every regular attender, all visitors, everyone, we ask you to fill out this white card. They're in the pews everywhere. They're in plastic things. Mike, had you been to a church that does this before?
Not like this. In the church I grew up in, we had a notepad
right
at the inside of the pew, and you filled it out and passed it down.
Right, that's where we're modeling that idea from. That's the derivative of that idea. We go through these, we call them connection cards. At the top you write your name, the Sunday date, and then you're an active member, a regular attender, you're interested in our pre-membership class, maybe you're an out-of-town guest, maybe you're a first-time visitor, returning visitor. Then you can check on the block what service you attend, and then give us your address. Maybe you moved as a church member. It's time to give us a new address, or your visitor, a returning visitor. And then what do we do with these cards? What have you seen, Mike?
So the philosophy first that I see is in most churches, there's the back door that we don't talk about, where people become members, they're here for a while, but then life happens and they drift away. The reason that I see that we do these white cards first and foremost is to make sure we don't let anybody drift away. If somebody's not here, then we want to reach out to them. And you challenge us on who hasn't been here and who can reach out to that person. Often it's you first and then somebody else. So that's the priority that I see, is we don't want anybody to slip out the back door. We don't want to lose anybody because life just overwhelms them and they drift away.
I don't think people realize in a church of adults and children, 750 people, we're tracking attendance.
Yes.
Of everyone.
In everything.
Right.
Yes. Because we want to make sure that people don't go out that back door. They don't drift away. We don't lose them to the world. This is a family environment, and we want to keep everybody in the family. And so by tracking all that attendance, we can help to do that better.
Yeah, if you become a member of this church and then you stop attending for a couple weeks, hey, they're on vacation. They RV during these 3 months. He's deployed to Poland right now. Or, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Right, I don't know where they're at. Let's reach out. Let's figure out what's going on. You can't just look across this auditorium and go, okay, let's do a snapshot of everyone's here. That's an impossibility.
Yeah.
We have to be very intentional. Mm-hmm. And so when the offering plate passes by and you're a first-time visitor, just drop this white card in the offering. And then when you come back the next Sunday, you don't have to give us all this bottom data. Just tell us that you're a returning visitor and your name. We've got the data already. We pay attention to who's coming Sunday after Sunday. And then in our staff meeting on Wednesday, we'll say, hey, do you know the Browns? Where are they sitting? And then we'll make a conscious effort to figure out who you are and to get to know you. I say it like this. We don't want people flying under the radar.
No. We want everybody to be visible to everybody.
Right. So come on Sunday morning. I think maybe the last thing, what about dress, Mike? People wonder about, because, you know, we're a Baptist church, and I'm going to be wearing a white shirt or a blue shirt and a tie and a jacket for at least a few minutes of the preaching. And then, what did you notice about dress? Describe it for everybody.
So I think we have most of the spectrum of dress. We will have multiple people that have suits, coats, ties on, like you talked about, that you wear. But then we will have people that come without a coat, maybe just a tie or maybe just a button-up shirt. Or we'll have people that will come with blue jeans and a polo shirt, just like I am right now.
Right.
Ladies will come full in a dress or in a skirt. Or they might come in slacks and a blouse, or we have ladies that come also in blue jeans and in some kind of shirt.
Right. Did you sense that people are going to be made to feel uncomfortable? Did you get any of that sense your first Sunday, second Sunday?
No. Yeah. I think that is one thing that I think people feel comfortable in whatever they're wearing. And that's within a family. We want that. We want family to be able to wear what they feel comfortable. I don't think that the people that come in blue jeans and a polo shirt are feeling pressured by guys in a shirt and tie or like you in a suit. I don't think they feel pressured at all.
Yeah, that's good. Good. Well, I think that this is kind of enough for our first video together. We hope it turns out well and it's helpful. And hey, just come visit us. What about if they're just nervous about coming? Can they connect online first?
Yes, we do stream our Sunday morning services and our Sunday evening service. So if they would want to watch us once just to kind of get the feel for a service, they could do that. They can also listen to all of your sermons for all 16 years that you've been here, I think.
We have an incredible volume of sermons online. You can get it on sermonaudio.com. You can download an app. You can go to the church website. There's really a number of ways of accessing it. Our website, we try to just like tell everything about who we are.
Yes, and the good news is we're even updating and creating a new website in the next 4 weeks.
Yeah, to make it even more easier. Helpful.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so everything's on there. But if somebody would like to stop in during the week and just kind of walk through the facility so they would kind of see where everything is before they come and there's a lot of people here.
Yeah, we'd be completely open to that. We're open because we have an academy, so there's somebody here Monday through Friday from 8 o'clock in the morning until probably 4 o'clock. And there's normally a pastor in the hallway that could walk you through. We'd love for you to reach out. We have a contact us form on the website. If you want to ask a question, call the church. One of the pastors will respond. We want you to visit. We want you to feel like this could be your family in Fayetteville. I think we're done.
I think we're done.